Here is your Radio Theater Channel weekly podcast for download. The RTC still has the very best old-time radio on the live streaming. And if it's music you love, tune in to the RTC Music Channel, where this link and many others are on our website at oldtimeradiolisten.com. Now, here's Jim.
Hello and welcome to the RTC Weekly Download. I'm your host, Jim Dolan. Today we are going to venture into detective stuff with Howard Duff, the man who played Sam Spade, Private Eye. We'll start with Howard Duff and a program created for Command Performance. That's the AFRS program for the military during World War II. This show is called Brute Force, and we'll follow that with an episode of Sam Spade and Tears of the Night Matter from 1949. Now, Mr. Howard Duff.
Hi, gang. I always used to enjoy Command when I was a listener to it out on Saipan, and it's a real thrill to be invited to be on it right now.
Well, Howard, you're going to earn that invade invitation tonight. Got a lot of work lined out for you.
Oh, that's right, Howard. Seaman First Alvin Tierno just saw that great picture of yours, Brute Force, and now he wants to hear the command performance version of Sam.
Well, what are we waiting for, Joan? Let's dig right in.
Okay. Ladies and gentlemen, presenting our version of that grim saga of vicious prison life, Brute Force. Brute Force. Our version is entitled The Prisoner Got the Hot Seat, or What's Cooking?
The scene, gloomy and dismal state prison. A dank, foreboding dungeon peopled by hate and despair. And in cell number 13 sits Killer McDuff, waiting for the terrible-tempered prison guard, Pinhead Petrie.
Come on out, McDuff. We gotta get you ready for the electric chair.
Just a second.
Oh, come on, come on, come on!
What's the hurry? Haven't you paid your light bill? God, I'll have you know I got connections. I can make trouble for you. If you take me to the chair, I'll holler loud and long. What's so funny?
You may holler loud, but you won't holler long.
This is awful. Petrie, I'd rather be executed on any day but a Monday.
What's wrong with Monday?
It's a lousy way to start the week.
All right, any more back talk like that, and I'll take you to see the captain of the guard.
Oh, no. No, not that bloodthirsty monster. No, don't take me to him. You can't. You can't.
Duff's mind is aflame with hate and anguish. His mind travels in circles. What got him into this horrible mess? He thinks back to that balmy night in May when he strolled all unknowingly into that tough little nightclub. That famous singer with a soulful look, Big Eyes Barton, was approaching the spotlight.
Hi, Jim. I'd like to do I'm Sorry from a picture that I just made at Columbia. It's called Mary Lou. I didn't say I'm sorry when I made you cry last night. I realized that I was wrong. They belong. please tell me, please tell me you forgive me. One kiss will make things right. I'm sorry. I didn't say I'm sorry. When I made you cry, last night.
As the girl sang, Duff watched her, fascinated. Her hair was like spun gold. Her complexion was ravishing, her figure divine, and her gown clung in all the right places. Yet, despite all this, there was something attractive about her. He approached the girl and spoke.
Come here, baby.
What can I do for you, big boy?
You can kiss me, baby. Come here.
Okay. Well, big boy, did I kiss you too hard?
Well, for a minute, I thought my head was caught in a Hoover vacuum cleaner. Let's try it again.
Huh? Hey, bud, lay up. What you doing with me, girl?
Well, I...
Ah, you dandy, low-down, no-good son of a...
Just a minute, pal. Would you care to step outside and say that?
Yeah, I would.
Well, go right ahead, but say it loud, because I'll be in here kissing your girl.
Why, you...
And so, Duff landed in the penitentiary, convicted of poisoning old Widow Jones. Now, as he looks about him, his mind revolts.
I'm fed up, you hear? You gotta let me out of here, you hear? Let me talk to the head guard.
No, no, you don't want to talk to him. Why, the captain of the guards is the most ferocious, bloodthirsty man alive.
Yeah, yeah, he's cruel, evil-tempered, wicked.
Gad, who is this bloodthirsty fiend?
Well, to his mother, he was known as Cuddles, but to us, he's known as Victor Mad Dog Moore.
Oh, no! Hello, Bigby.
Why, Mad Dog, what's wrong?
Oh, another prisoner just insulted me. He said that I'm lazy and no good, and he even said I wear ever sharp pants.
Ever sharp pants? Well, why does he call them ever sharp pants?
He says they contain a 6-month supply of lead.
Now, don't you cry, Mad Dog. Don't cry.
And, Petrie, I want you to throw that awful 2-gun Gil Hooley out of my nice, clean jail.
Why, Mad Dog, what's wrong with 2-gun Gil Hooley?
He's too untidy. That man doesn't even wash his socks anymore. He just puts scents in the toes. Peter, you've got to do something about Killer Gray.
Has he been breaking the rules?
Yeah, I found him making fudge after 10 o'clock.
By the nerve of that guy. This calls for strict discipline.
Yeah, I'll say, from now on, any time that man is found making fudge in his cell...
Yes?
Take away his mixmaster. Now, Peter, call the convicts together. I got to lay down the law.
Okay, Captain, I'll summon the men.
Goodness gracious, what's that?
That's the signal calling the men to attention for your speech.
Oh, thank heavens. I was afraid somebody was trying to bust into my jail.
Well, they're all here. Now, go ahead, talk to them. Treat them rough as usual. Go ahead.
I will. Gentlemen? Fathers?
Mr. Wurms.
Hello, you guys. Gentlemen. Oh, fellas, please listen.
Don't interrupt us. We're just starting a gin rummy game.
Yeah, now who's got the gin?
Yeah.
Gentlemen, shut up!
Okay, Captain, speak. Go ahead.
What should I do?
Speak, speak, speak!
Okay. Whoop, whoop. My dog taught me to do that.
Captain, bawl the prisoners out. Get tough. Come on.
I will. Men, I got some complaints to take up with you.
And what is it?
Well, men, I don't like the things I've been finding in the suggestion box. Now, take this letter. It's not constructive.
Well, Gad, Mad Dog, what does it say?
It says, Dear Captain, drop dead. I see I've been too nice to you guys. I'm taking away all your privileges. Now, you hooligatty?
Yes, sir?
One of your wives don't have to go.
Fagin?
Yeah?
You can't shoot spitballs at the guards anymore. Unless they're approved by good housekeeping. And Hooper Lancaster.
Yes, sir?
You've been awful mean. From now on, you can only run your print shop 8 hours a day.
Oh, no, Mad Dog. Don't
yes,
do that.
You gotta stop putting my picture on those $5 bills.
Mad Dog, this prisoner wants to speak to you.
Oh. Hello, Mr. Duff.
Mad Dog, you gotta let me out of here. I gotta get out. You can't keep me in this prison, this cage.
Oh, now, son, remember, stone walls do not a prison make, nor iron bars a cage.
Oh, no? Then what's holding me in here?
Scotch tape.
Oh, Mad Dog, that's silly.
Well, let's sit down in that electrified chair and we'll cook up a deal.
No, Mad Dog, I don't like it here. It ain't homey, and that guard you got watching me, he's too tough.
Petrie?
Mm-hmm.
Petrie isn't tough.
Oh, no? Then what's he doing now?
He's making toast. Petrie holds a piece of bread in his teeth, and then he sits in the electric chair.
Stop!
A little browned on the edges.
What, the toast?
No, Petrie. Pardon me, I'll have to take him outside and scrape him.
Ah, he's gone. Hey, you guys, all you lugs from my cell, cell 13, come
here.
Guess what I got here under my mattress. Right here under my mattress, I got a pistol, see?
Yeah, he looks.
And a couple of Tommy guns, too, see?
Yeah.
And 18 belts of ammunition, see?
Oh,
and I got a case of dynamite under my mattress. Anybody got any questions?
I got one, Doc.
Yeah, what's that?
How can you sleep on such a lumpy mattress?
Shut up. Now we're going to bust out of this can tonight, see? You guys with me?
Oh, yeah.
Here we are.
Sure.
Can you keep this a secret, Fatso?
Sure, Duff.
Can you, Deadeye?
Sure, Duff, sure.
How about you, Mike?
Of course, Duff.
What about you, Porky? That's what I do to a squealer. Hey, Jesus, here comes Mad Dog Moore.
Hey, quick, hide that pistol.
What on earth is going on here? What are you men whispering about?
We're planning our escape, see?
Well, would you plan it a little more quietly? The other prisoners can't sleep.
Okay.
Goodness, what is all this junk you've got lying around on the floor? Dynamite and fuses. For the life of me, I can't see how you can find your way around this place in the dark.
Mad Dog, that's not real dynamite. It's only an imitation.
It is, huh?
Mm-hmm.
Well, you other fellas cart that stuff out and toss it over the wall.
Okay, Mad Dog, we'll toss it. Sure.
They make some very good imitations these days.
Yeah. Now, Mad Dog, what was on your mind?
Oh, nothing. Howard, how do you like my jail? I'm sure this fellow has a pistol hidden in his cell.
Well, I think your jail's just peachy.
I bet he suspects I have a pistol hidden here.
Well, I'm very glad you like it. I'd give $1 million to know where he hid that pistol.
Well, I do. I really do.
I bet he'd give $1 million to know where I hid that pistol.
Well, I'm glad, Howard. I wonder where he hid that pistol.
I'm glad you're glad.
You'll never guess I hid that pistol under my mattress.
Where?
Under my mattress.
Look at this horrible pistol. Howard Duff, you were going to squirt water on me.
That's right. That's right, Mad Dog. I was just waiting to get that drop on you.
This is the last straw. I'm going to carry out my secret plan. This is D-Day for me.
What do you mean, Mad Dog?
Duff, you know that tunnel you've been digging under the jail?
Yeah, sure. That's sewer. What about it?
That's no sewer. That's what I told you it was. I planned that tunnel so it comes up just outside the prison wall. And tonight, I'm going to escape.
No, no, no.
Mighty fine dramatics, fellas.
And now we'll jump ahead 2 years to hear Tears of the Night Matter on The Adventures of Sam Spade.
By transcription.
Sam Spade Detective Agency.
Finitum est.
Mr. Who?
Finitum est. It is finished. Latin.
Oh. Sam?
What's left of me, sweetheart?
Well, where are you? What happened? Who did it?
Here. Everything. And what?
What?
No, I asked you first.
Sam.
Now you're making sense.
Well, did that Mr. Mortuous get in touch with you?
Demortuous Neil Nisi Bonum.
Oh, Sam, stop it.
Second year Latin, F. Speak well of the dead.
You mean he's dead?
If you have tears, prepare to shed them now. This one ends up worse than Rigoletto. Have your extra handkerchief ready, get some organ music on the radio, and I'll be down to dictate my report on the Tears of Night caper.
Dashiell Hammett, America's leading detective fiction writer and creator of Sam Spade, the hard-boiled private eye, and William Spear, radio's outstanding producer, director of mystery and crime drama, join their talents to make your hair stand on end with The Adventures of Sam Spade. Presented by the makers of Wild Root Cream Oil for the hair. You know, just a little Wild Root Cream Oil in your hair can mean a world of improvement in your general appearance. Just try it and see. See how Wild Root Cream Oil Hair Tonic grooms your hair neatly and naturally, relieves dryness, and removes loose dandruff. Yes, you'll be glad to discover that just a few drops of Wild Root Cream Oil make a big difference. So if you've never tried it before, get the 25-cent Get Acquainted size and ask for it by name. Wild Root Cream Oil Hair Tonic. Again and again, the choice of men and women and children, too. And now, with Howard Duff starring as Spade, Wild Root brings to the air the greatest private detective of them all in The Adventures of Sam Spade.
Many, many things, Jeff.
But it's also kind of raw. Oh, Sam.
In time, Effie, my wounds will heal.
Oh, I'll bet that Mamie Gagan had something to do with it. I could tell when she came in here that she was going
the
to be...
Demortuous Neil Nisi Bonum.
Huh?
Latin, speak well of the dead, remember?
Oh,
yes. One thing at a time, sweetheart. Let's get this over with. I want to find a doctor.
Oh, you're so brave, Sam. Carrying on in the face of... your face.
Sure.
You won't be satisfied until you just die for your profession.
Yeah, well, if I do, Neil Nisi Bonum, Effie. Neil Nisi Bonum.
That means?
Latin means, bony knees.
Oh.
Date, July 24, 1949, to Miss Daphne Arlington from Samuel Spade, San Francisco, license number 137596. Subject, the Tears of Night. Dear Daphne. I hope this will clear up a few things in your mind. I hope it'll let you know how you got where you are and what happened to put you there. It all has an illogical beginning, middle, and end. At 3, yesterday afternoon, my loyal secretary and confidant, Miss Effie Perrine, a doll, who has been rehearsing a Cockney play for television, flung open my office door and said,
"Miss Mimi Gagan to see Mrs. Spide."
I said, "Cooey." Miss Mamie Gagan looked everything the name implied, from her lately blonded hair to her genuine alligator shoes. I might add, she weighed in at approximately 160 and was in very good condition.
You, Spade.
I am he. Sit down, please.
Ah.
Don't you believe me?
I hate gumshoes. They all stink.
Something in your background. Perhaps as a girl. I'm just assuming that you were one.
All gumshoes are nosy. They talk too much. That's why I don't like them. Here.
For me?
Who else, stupid?
Oh. And it says, pay to the order of Samuel Spade, $100, signed Mamie Gagan, co-signed Johnny McCall. All right, is it good?
You wise guy or something? Sure it's good. I'm the treasurer. Get your hat.
In this weather?
We gonna go see Johnny.
McCall?
Yeah.
Why are we gonna see Johnny?
Johnny wants you should do something for him.
What does Johnny want I should do for him?
Come on, Spade, what's the matter with you? He'll tell you.
I just love to hear you talk, Mame, that's all.
All this gassing ain't getting us nowhere. The boss is waiting. Gumshoes talk too much.
Yes, ma'am. Well, maybe we do, but ours is a lonely profession. Mamie led me to a large Cadillac parked in a no-parking zone. She tore the ticket up and ate it. We got in and charged through traffic towards Burlingame. About a half a mile this side of the main highway, we turned off to the left. Pretty soon, we were winding up a private road to a fine old colonial mansion. Two or three private patrolmen were guarding the entrance. They all needed shaves. They kind of nodded as we went up the front door. Naturally enough, it didn't open, but a peep shutter did.
Yeah?
It's me, Feely. This is the private peeper the boss wants to see. Open up.
Okay.
How are you feeling, Mr. Feely?
Screw, screw. All kinds of folks around.
This way, Spade.
Yeah, who is it?
Mamie, I got your peeper.
Okay.
Inside. Here he is, Johnny, flat feet and all. His name's Spade.
They are not.
I know. I picked him myself. Go on, beat it.
I hate gumshoes.
Boom.
I don't mind Mamie. She's kind of bitter.
Yes, she is. Yeah.
We did a lousy job on her hair last time. It's all streaky.
Yeah, I noticed.
Go on, sit down.
Nice place, Johnny. Nice place. How's the gross?
Oh, ain't as good as running beer, but... them days are gone. I do all right. 2 crap tables, 2 faro games, a little roulette in the living room, but I have to be careful.
Yeah, you seem to have plenty of muscle outside to keep you safe and comfy.
Ah, punks, all of them. But the best I can get nowadays, no good gunsels left. Guess they all got married and settled down or something.
All right, Johnny, it's cool and it's nice out here. You make a living and I got a check for $100. Why?
Well, in my line, I don't generally have much use for a private eye. I don't generally like them.
Neither does Manny.
But I can use one right now. Ever see this before? No? Well, it's a little bit of necklace.
Necklace case.
Called the Tears of Night or something.
Yeah?
It's worth quite a chunk of Gita's. These 4 diamonds are good stuff. Dame named Daphne Arlington left it here a week ago when she went in for a plunge at the roulette table. She left it for a standby till she raised the cash. Kind of a screwy dame. You know, a widow with a lot of money. Boyfriend named Lenny Epich. Mm-hmm. He paints or something. Mm-hmm. Well, she sent me a check today for the 5 G's she lost, and I just want you to take this thing back to her.
That all?
Yeah, that's all. I got my dough. She gets a necklace. You're a licensed bonded investigator, insured. It's safe with you. I couldn't trust any of my punks with it, and I don't like to be seen in public, so you just take it back. It's all very simple.
Uh-huh. Now that you've told me how simple it is, suppose you give me the unexpurgated sequel. Did her check bounce?
Yep. All right. You want a drink? There wasn't any check, Sam. She called me a couple of hours ago and said if I didn't have this thing back to her by tonight, she'd call a load of cops and come out here and tear the joint apart.
Not such a screwy dame at that. You're stuck.
You telling me. If she comes with cop, I'm closed for season. I'm getting old.
Oh, you're not old, John.
Feely was running the table. I didn't know he'd taken this thing for security until we counted up.
Stupid Feely.
I should have pushed his mush in or something. Letting a dame like that make us a setup.
Well, maybe you'll do better next time.
Oh, ain't gonna be no next time, Spade. Well, here's her address. Here's the ice. Just take it to her and I'll chalk it up to experience.
You better get yourself a new boy at that table, Johnny.
You telling me. You telling me.
Well, bye. Bye.
spoken not. Lenny, I thought you'd never get here. The performance begins at 8:30, and you know how the traffic is, and if we're going to have a bite to eat... You aren't, Lenny. Where's Lenny?
I don't know, Miss Arlington. I'm supposed to deliver some jewelry.
Jewelry? That would be mortuous. Mortuous.
Mortuous. Yes, but I...
What are you looking at?
Your throat.
Really? Well, really, Mr.
Spade, Sam Spade.
Well, really, Mr. Spade. I'm only waiting for Lenny to get here so we can make the first curtain a streetcar. And we're going to be late if he doesn't get here. You can understand that, Mr. Spade.
You're going to be a little early. Streetcar doesn't open until Monday.
And I'm already, and he hasn't shown up. Well, good night, Mr. Spade.
Hey! The white ermine cape you were wearing and the black strapless thing needed a touch. But you had it. A diamond necklace. In fact, the Tears of Night, the same one I had in my pocket, Daphne, was hanging around your lovely neck. I rebuzzed your buzzer and knocked on your door for quite a while until it was quite evident that you were not going to open up. Under the hallway light, I snapped open the necklace case. Mortuous, you had said. And mortuous was what it said stamped inside the case. A gloomy word with a gloomy address. The White Hotel on Turk Street.
Hannibal Mortuous, at your service, sir.
If ever a man had the look of death, it was this one who had its name. He was older than old, cadaverous, and in his skull-like head, his eyes were white. He was wearing a flannel nightshirt.
You find me a bit indisposed, Mr. Spade. The clerk at the desk said it was a matter of jewelry. Therefore, Hannibal Mortuus is at your service. Now then, sir, what is so urgent?
I came to ask you about a diamond necklace. I found your name stamped on the inside here.
House of Mortuus, the most respected name in diamonds, as well as all the lapidary arts. Most respected. Fine jewels and the name Mortuus is synonymous the world over. I am the last of four sons. But continue, Mr. Spade.
Well, I just want you to take a look at this.
And how do you come in possession of the Tears of Night, sir?
Well, a man named Johnny McCall, who runs a gambling club, hired me to deliver it to a lady named Daphne Arlington. She lost it at the roulette table. She left it there until she could raise the cash.
Deplorable conduct on her part. Daphne Arlington, most indiscreet young lady, to be sure. I recall my interview with her when her late husband, Sidney, ordered this necklace. A lovely body, propelled by a ridiculous mind. For shame, such conduct, a gambling house, the Tears of Night, a pawn.
This is real, then? It isn't phony?
Mr. Spade, I am a gemologist. The House of Mortuus, of course, it's real.
Take a good look.
When an artist creates a dazzling thing of beauty such as this, would he be so unlikely as to forget the time, the patience, the agony of his creation? See how each stone is carefully mounted to capture every single pinpoint of light.
Mm-hmm.
An incomparable masterpiece. Mm-hmm. An incredible money.
How much money?
No wholesale market, about 10,000.
Arlington?
He paid 25, but he had it, as I say, incomparable.
Yeah. Yeah, well, I saw another one just like it tonight.
Ridiculous. The finest workman at best could only create a crude resemblance. This kind of work demands an artist, sir, an artist. But tell me, Latin in unguis herba, huh?
My second year Latin escapes me.
Snake in the grass. Something wrong?
Something wrong, yeah.
You were concerned for the safety of this piece. I have a small safe in my room. You may have the key if you care.
I'll take it with me. Thank you, Mr. Mortuus.
My pleasure, Mr. Spain. Omnia mortuus bonum vocat est. All speak well of Mortuus, of Panza. Good evening.
In the dismal lobby of the White Hotel, I asked the night clerk for some wrapping paper and 20 cents worth of stamps. It was a hunch, plus the fact that outside in the street I spotted two of Johnny McCall's unshaved gorillas. They were looking up at the front of the building. Mr. Mortuus must have switched off his light or something because their eyes suddenly dropped and I saw them separate, one on each side of the front door. With shoulders carefully hunched, I stepped out into the lonesome night. I hoped they would think I was carrying my .38, which I was not. They didn't.
Here's the paper, Candy. You want to ask him for a match? Candy's nearsighted.
That's too bad.
This him, Ernest? You got a match, Spade?
Yeah, not so close.
Candy asks if you got a match. He's a dummy, Candy. He don't answer.
Got a match, Spade?
What'd I tell you? He's a dummy.
He don't look like no dummy.
Take your hands off.
He's a dummy, all right. Ain't you, Spade? See, he's a dummy, Candy. I told him about you being nearsighted and he wouldn't answer.
He don't talk.
Go on, smart boy. Tell him, tell Candy how sorry you are about him being nearsighted. I told you he was a dummy, Candy.
All private eyes like you.
Candy asked you a question. He wants to know if all private eyes is like you.
I don't like no dummy.
We ask questions and he ain't told us nothing. That makes him a dummy.
Maybe we find out something if we went through his pockets.
Yeah, even a dummy's got pockets. Ain't that right, dummy? Hold him, Candy.
All right, boys. You played the scene real good, and I'll see what I can do for you.
Hey, you talk.
Yeah. Make him talk again, Candy.
Yeah.
Make him talk bigger, Candy. Bigger. Bigger.
He talks real nice, but he don't say much. Think maybe he's tough, Ernest?
Yeah, maybe. Hold him up.
See? He ain't so tough.
No, I wasn't. And I didn't feel like talking on that quiet little street where the only noise was my face pounding on their fists. I didn't have the necklace anymore, but they had to find out the hard way. The hard way for me.
Makers of Wild Root Cream Oil are presenting the weekly Sunday adventure of Dashiell Hammett's famous private detective, Sam Spade. Now, here's important news on good grooming. If you want the well-groomed look that helps you get ahead socially and on the job, listen. Recently, thousands of people from coast to coast who bought Wild Root Cream Oil for the first time were asked, how does Wild Root Cream Oil compare with the hair tonic you previously used? The results were amazing. Better than 4 out of 5 who replied said they preferred Wild Root Cream Oil. Remember, non-alcoholic Wild Root Cream Oil contains lanolin. It grooms the hair naturally, relieves dryness, and removes loose, ugly dandruff. So if you want your hair to be more attractive than ever before, get the generous new 25-cent size of Wild Root Cream Oil, America's leading hair tonic, on sale at all drug and toilet goods counters. It's also available in larger economy bottles and the handy new tube. By the way, smart girls use Wild Root Cream Oil, too, and mothers say it's grand for training children's hair. Get Wild Root Cream Oil. Again and again, the choice of men and women and children, too. And now, back to the Tears of Night caper. Tonight's adventure with Sam Spade.
I remember trying to wake up a couple of times. I was dreaming that we were driving along in a giant Cadillac. Big Mamie was sitting on my lap. She was eating a diamond necklace and spitting out cherry pits, which Mr. Mortuus grabbed, looked at through his jeweler's glass, and then tossed into a roulette wheel. Then we had a blowout, and the whole car vanished with everybody screaming, Demortuous, Demortuous. Somewhere around 7 in the a.m., I began to get a feeling. Several feelings, and all of them hurt. I had been dumped in the grass in a fairly nice neighborhood. In your neighborhood, as a matter of fact, Daphne. And 5 minutes later, I was climbing the steps to your apartment. I thought maybe you'd let me wash my face in your bathroom. Also, you seemed the logical one to question, since nothing else made sense. You were sitting in a large chair. The drapes were drawn, the door was slightly open, and only the light from the hall seeped in. You had the phone on your lap. The receiver was off. My guess was right. You were looking at nothing.
Oh,
Oh, Mr. Spade. It's you. You came back. You've been in an accident.
I don't think you'll need this.
Oh, yes. Well then, Mr. Spade. Well then, I suppose you've met some people tonight who know a great deal about me.
A gambler, a jeweler.
Did they tell you about Lenny Epich?
No.
He's really a dear, Mr. Spade. Quite the nicest boy I've met since Sidney was killed in that horrible automobile accident. Sidney and I had so many things together. I do think he enjoyed being alive with me. I mean, I cried when Sidney was killed. I really did. I cried.
Miss Arlington,
I didn't know what to do. I cried. That was 3 years ago, but now I have Lenny. He's really a dear. I do think that Lenny will be a very prominent artist someday. I do. Lenny asked me to marry him tonight.
He did?
I've been very lonely since Sidney died. Lenny isn't interested in my money. Lenny has some money of his own. What is that? I can't seem to get my tongue adjusted to my mouth. Did that ever happen to you, Mr. Spade?
Sometimes, yes.
Perhaps I should see a correctionist. I'm glad you came by again. I didn't know you were a detective the first time.
Who told you?
Why, Mr. McCall. I really can't understand money.
Please, Miss Arlington.
I know it must be strange to you, but look at them. But some people live for it. Some people die.
Please, Miss Arlington. We can't get anything done.
Look, they do look so funny. So very funny. I've seen them count money. So much money. And I really believe that is all I live for. Oh, look at me.
You were pointing at something across the darkened room. It took me 10 seconds to find the light switch. Stretched out on your floor, they looked funny, all right. Candy and Ernest. Both of them as dead as you can get. Your name, Lenny Epich?
Well, yes, but I was expecting...
My name's Spade. I'm a private investigator. I'm calling from her apartment.
Daphne's?
Now, listen. There's been a couple of murders here.
Murders?
She's had quite a jolt. She's going to need you and all the help she can get to bring her out of it. I've called homicide, and it might be pretty rough for her.
I'll be right over.
Bring a doctor.
Right.
And a lawyer. I'm afraid she'll need one of those, too.
I've got a good one. We'll be there. Thanks, Mr. Spade.
He showed up about the same time the crew from Homicide got there. Your fiancé is a good guy. He talked fast and urgently, as did the doctor and lawyer he brought with him, and through their combined efforts, you were removed not to police headquarters, but to the private hospital in which you are now a patient. It was obvious from the powder test that you could not have fired the .45 which ended the lives of Candy and Ernest. It was also obvious that the murders had been done elsewhere, but who had done them remained to be seen.
Spade, I've been expecting you. Come in, sir. I've been amusing myself with your chessboard. Sit down. You've had a hectic night.
Yeah, your boys are pretty rough.
Candy and Ernest, two men of another world, Mr. Spade, not our world. Allow me to apologize for that action.
I want more than an apology, Mr. Mortuous. And if that's my gun and it looks like it, it's got a hair trigger. And if you'll pardon me for saying so, your hands are a little shaky.
I underestimated you, Spade. Such an ingenious method of protecting the tears of night. Why, sir, by the simple expedient of placing it in an envelope and mailing it to yourself from my hotel lobby, you hired as guardians the entire United States Postal Service, not to mention the armed forces.
Thanks. What happens now?
We wait for the mail.
Just tell me where I'm wrong, will you, Mr. Mortuous? McCall wanted me to get caught with it. He didn't know it was real. You'd made a phony for him, only you found out it wasn't phony when I came to your place. Then there was a double cross.
If you can bear my vanity, I have invented a new word. Triple cross. It has a ring to it, eh?
Oh. Including Mamie?
Mamie and her friends have been very valuable to me, but I must necessarily exclude them from sharing the profits.
Mamie knocked off Candy in earnest?
Abetted by the last of the House of Mortuus.
You planted them in Daphne's place?
Mamie and I. A crude touch, I thought, but it had a purpose. I happen to know that Mrs. Arlington has for a long time been on the verge of a nervous breakdown. With two cadavers in her living room, she was very unlikely to discuss a bogus necklace with the police. And I doubt very much if she knew she was wearing the original or the imitation. Flighty girl.
That's the lousiest thing the House of Mortuus ever did. She walked in and found them.
If you had merely returned the real necklace to her, it would have been simple to make an exchange, and none of this would have been necessary. But then,
I know. You just sit here and wait for the mail.
We wait for the mail.
What about your other playmate?
I'm afraid I'll be sought for a murder or two or three this night. Mamie.
She got it, too?
Yes.
Where are the police going to find her?
Oh, in my hotel room, which I departed hastily once the room clerk had informed me of your ingenious method for protecting the necklace. I shot her there.
You worked cheap.
Cheap, sir? I don't understand.
A $10,000 necklace? Not quite a king's ransom, you know.
The tears of night are worth five times that. I'm afraid I misinformed you as to their value. I didn't want you to become suspicious.
You are a really horrible, terrifying old man. I suppose you think you'll get away with it.
I don't intend to get away with it. An old man, yes, but I intend to spend my remaining years...
They'll pick you up before you get to the airport.
I doubt that. I shall turn the tears of night into cash. And with a well-laden purse, I shall guarantee to elude the police over half the world. In 2 years, perhaps three, they'll get me. But I'll have spent the money. And...
We have a visitor.
Caution, Spade. I do shoot well. Answer it, tell them to go away. I'll be right beside you. All right. Open it.
Look, one side, Spade. I got a gun.
Obvious.
Mimi.
I thought I'd find you here waiting for the mail. You dirty... You didn't do such a good job on me.
Caution, my dear. I have a gun, too.
Everybody but me.
I can last long enough to let you have it.
Not so good, my dear. Your loss of blood has made you groggy.
Still good enough to...
Where?
It was almost a photo finish. Kind of leaned into the wall with a pained and amazed look on his face. Then he seemed to try to walk.
Mr. Spade, sir, I believe I've been shot. I'll need a little assistance. I can't seem to hold my feet, sir. I can't seem to hold my feet. This was an awkward plan at best. The mortuus nil nisi bonum, Spade. Or if your second year Latin escapes your memory, speak well the dead.
Period and a report.
Oh, Sam. All those people.
Four in all.
And that poor girl, Daphne. How she must have felt when she saw it. Oh, Sam.
Yeah, it was pretty bad.
You poor darling.
Well, it's about time.
Now you go right home. In fact, I'm going to take you home.
Yeah? Then what?
Well...
You are a registered nurse, maybe?
Well, I...
Go type that up. I am completely well, and when you return, we shall Indian wrestle.
Certainly, sir.
And now, listen to this. Shopping note. Tonight or tomorrow, get a family-sized bottle or handy tube of Wild Root Cream Oil, America's favorite hair tonic.
That's it for this week. We'll be back next week with more old-time radio. I hope you can join us then. Till then, this is Jim Dolan thanking you for listening.